Each week, as we look into our ministry here, we see new people coming. We see the congregation adding to itself almost on a weekly basis, and we thank God for this. And one of the things that we have wanted to do is to make sure that the ministry of the Markham Missionary Church is biblically based, not historically accurate, but biblically based. And we trust that with the history as well, certain things will take place. And later on, Mr. Langford, who is the chairman of the board, will share with you some of the things that we have been doing for a little time, but it is my responsibility for the next 10 or 15 minutes to share with you what we call the church's order as God has ordained it. I didn't put that title in the bulletin because I don't know if anyone would want to know, perhaps asking themselves, what in the world does that mean? Well, we want to look into the scriptures to see how we have been functioning, and I'm not picking holes into what have been done in the past at all, God forbid, but we want to build upon that to strengthen the ministry as we see new people coming in. One of the things we're quite concerned about is the ministry of elders, the desire to see men whom God has chosen for himself to accurately and committedly be a part of the ministry, assisting, if you please, if I may use the term, the pastor, in the pastoral ministry. Let me assure you that I'm not looking for less work. Let me assure you that it has nothing to do with things are getting too big and we can't handle it. No, I think you will recall in the Old Testament where Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, as he looked at him and he saw him working, he said, Moses, you need to adjust things. What you should do, and then he went on to tell him. I want to get to the text this evening, and I invite your attention to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. My outline for this evening is as follows. I want you to look, first of all, at the appointment of elders. The appointment of elders. I want you to look at the assignment of elders. The assignment of elders. And thirdly, we want to look at the accountability of elders. So we want to look at the appointment, the assignment, and the accountability of elders. As you know, for those of you who are part of the missionary church, at least this one, we exercise the authority of the spiritual ministry to deacons, and this has been for a long time a part of the practice of the church. I will suggest to you that there are some missionary churches who have done this long before we have. We are just catching up to them in this biblically based and designed ministry. Acts 20:28, Paul is about to depart from Ephesus. He had been there for about 3 years. He had taken time to deliberately and accurately communicate to the church there the things which God had designed and ordained for the church. And as a result of that, getting ready to depart, he says to them, I have not failed to give to you day and night with tears those things which he calls the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. And sometimes I think we are in danger of leaving some of those things because of the modern times in which we're living. So he's about to depart and he writes in Acts 20:28, from which comes our first text this evening. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Then turn, if you please, to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, and Titus, if you're not familiar with your New Testament, comes just before the book of Hebrews, and it's at the back of the Bible, not at the very end, but the back. I'll read as to save time. For this reason, Paul writing to Titus, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains, as the King James has a very interesting word, what is wanting, and appoint elders in every city as I direct you. The appointment of elders. No doubt as we have been wrestling with this, the question may have come in your mind. As we make this transition, who will appoint elders in the church? Whose responsibility it is? I want you to see that from our text, there is a twofold appointment of elders. First, there is the divine side. the divine side. Look, if you please, at our text, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you. Be on guard. The Holy Spirit has made you, which is a very interesting word, to watch over the flock, overseer. The word made in the text is a word which means to appoint or to set in place. To appoint or to set in place. And the Holy Spirit is the one who appoints initially and set in place the leadership of the church, just as God has designed it in his own infinite mind long before the foundation of the world. And so immediately we look into this text, we are in tune with eternity's past and eternity present. Before the foundation of the world, God had in mind what the church was going to be, how it was going to function, and the Holy Spirit, who is carrying out the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth while Christ is ascended in heaven, the Holy Spirit is actually overseeing the work of the church, and in his infinite, infinite sovereignty, he chooses men to take over the leadership of the church. It's interesting. We're in our Sunday school class, we're dealing with the human aspect of the church, the human side of the church. And Bill Hall, in his book, Discipling Church, talks about this fact, that when Jesus Christ left the earth, the disciples were frightened because they were always used to his presence. He was always there. They could resort to him. They saw him physically. And upon the ascension, he leaves them. And now he says to them, I will send you the Holy Spirit who shall be in you, and he will be the one who will give guidance to the church. And all of a sudden, the disciples said, I don't know about that. I am used to touching you, seeing you, hearing you. And when John was writing later on in 1 John 1, he says, that which we have seen with our eyes, held with our hands, we declare to you that very thing. But now, he said, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. So Jesus prepares the disciples for the time when the Holy Spirit was going to be living in them and they were going to cooperate with him. As he reveals to them what the will of God was for the church, they were going to cooperate with him for the ongoing of God's ministry. And so, Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 15 and 16, said to them, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, so that we see this divine appointment. Let us never get away from the fact that the church is not a social club, not a social organization, where what takes place in it is always the initiative of men or human beings. The church, my friends, is God's building, designed by God, directed by God, and will ultimately be taken out of this world at the time of God's choosing. Until then, says St. Paul to Timothy, I want you to know how you are to behave in the church of God, which is the pillar of truth, while we're waiting for his return. So we have this divine appointment. This is a tremendous responsibility because the church has you know, remember in the good old days, I remember when I was a student and I was wrestling with where God was going to lead me upon graduation. I used to think, I don't want to be the pastor of a small church in some country somewhere. I did say that because I thought everybody knows everybody else. If something goes wrong, you would not be able to say anything about it because if you touch Sue, you'll touch Sue's aunt, Sue's first cousin, Sue's second cousin, and I mean, you wouldn't know how to really do what needs to be done. Now, I have repented of that thought, I want you to know, friends. Because whether it is in some small church in the country or whether it is a middle-sized church or a large church, the foundation is the same. The scriptures are those which God has given, and he has put in there the blueprint for the ongoing of his ministry. And so Paul, writing to the people at Ephesus, said to them, the Holy Spirit has been actively working, making known to you those whom he has made. So long before there is any human appointing of leaders in the church, the Holy Spirit has been actively working, making sure that those men whom God has called and gifted for that purpose is aware that something divine is taking place in their lives. So that we do not look humanly at the church initially, We look with divine eyes, with divine mind, for divine direction. The Holy Spirit is the appointment, is the appointer. The Holy Spirit is the one who oversees, and he has seen fit to give the human overseeing of the church to human beings. Initially, it is the Holy Spirit's ministry. God has made provisions, says Vine, for the care and the nurture of the church. That provision is the divine appointment of under-shepherds, overseers for the local congregation. God's divine appointment, the Holy Spirit making men aware of his calling to them. Secondly, not only do we have the divine appointment on the divine side, we have what I call the delegated side. The delegated side. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Paul now, having clear in his mind what the Holy Spirit has designed for the church, as God was using this man mightily in Asia, he said to him, I have left you in Crete so that you may, first of all, fill that up which is lacking or wanting. The church in Crete, my friends, was a loose church. Now, when I say loose, I don't mean morally loosed. They came together. There was no order to it. They were having a wonderful time, if you please, not necessarily bad. And Paul, realizing the necessity of order in the church, said to Titus, I want you to ordain. First of all, I want you to understand that something is lacking. Something is wanting. And what was it that was wanting? Elders. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. I want you, says the apostle, that which is lacking and is unfinished, I want you to place in order. Listen to three terms that he uses. That which is wanting, unfinished. To set in order, that means to arrange properly. And interestingly enough, from this root word from which we get to set in order, means this, to straighten out. To straighten out. In other words, a church that does not have human leadership under divine leadership is lacking in certain elements, in certain things, in certain ways. And Paul says to Titus, I've left you to set these things in order. And here is the delegated side. Can you imagine, friends? The Holy Spirit appoints men, and then he gives the churches the responsibility of recognizing those men whom he has gifted for this kind of ministry. And then he says to the local church, to human beings, I want you to select those people and to bring them before the congregation for their confirmation. Wow. So you do not look for your cousin, your husband, your wife, your son. No. You look for those divine qualities which Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2. These are the qualities that you look for in appointing such, because when those qualities are there, you will know that the heart in whose lives those qualities are extant, then you can, that heart will beat with a sense, I cannot get away from the fact that God has given me these qualities and I want to use them for his glory. The delegated side. And to ordained. To ordain. The word means to appoint. And may I suggest to you, friends, in the root word for ordain, you know what it means to ordain permanently. Permanently. I'm not suggesting that this evening at this point, but I'm just telling you what the text says. That in appointing elders, there is the divine side and there is the delegated side. And the Holy Spirit has given to you and to me the responsibility of looking at those whom he has made conscious of his call, and to invite them to share as elders in the church. Well, let me go on quickly. Let's look at the assignment. What do elders do? Acts 20, 17, and again 28. Look at verse 17. As we read it this evening. And from Miletus to Ephesus, and called to him the elders of the church, and when they had come, Paul spoke to them. Then he began to delegate to them the responsibilities. Listen, friends, I will deal with two tonight because time would not permit me to go through all of them, but two. The assignment of elders is to govern God's church with divine authority. To govern. Literally, that's what the word means. To oversee. It comes from a beautiful, beautiful Greek word. Episkopos. There are two words. Epic, the prefix. And that word, E-P-I, epic, means upon or on or over. It is a word which speaks of the intensity of a situation. So whenever this word epic precedes a word, it gives meaning to the word because of the intensity of its prefix. Skopos is the word from which we get our word, the root word, telescope or microscope. So an elder is one who looks with intensity, who looks with a sense of concentration over the church of God, in the church of God. And one of the meaning, the nuances of this word is used in a military sense. It was very interesting studying the word, looking at its background. The word meant whenever a general came, in fact, I think this church had that in its early stage. I think you used to have the bishop that used to come around once in a while, those of you who are older missionary church people. See, the word bishop and the word elders are sometimes used simultaneously in Scripture, and it is believed, says Tom Krauts, and he's a Greek scholar, which says that elders were the general term used, and bishop was the one who was selected to lead the elders, who had the oversight of things, and he worked with the other elders. But this word means this: the bishop or a general who came to inspect an army. We get this word from this. And this general will go through, we have it today, don't we? Military inspection. When the queen comes, what does she do? She inspects the guard. And she goes through and she looks and she sees if your tie is on properly. And she looks to see if your button is buttoned properly. And she looks to see if you have the kind of grooming that someone in Her Majesty's guard should have. That's the idea of the word. And so an overseer, an elder, is one who looks over, who looks with a deep concentration upon the church. It visits the church with a sense to make sure that things are in order. By the way, the overseer also makes sure that the preaching that comes from the pulpit is biblically based. Biblically based. That it is not dealing with the latest issue of the day. It is not dealing with some side issue that contradicts the Scriptures. The elders make sure that the minister does not deviate from those things divinely dictated by God. And dear friends, it has happened, and it is happening. So they are to govern with authority. But I want to suggest to you, secondly, that not only do we have that designation given to them, but their duty. In Acts 20:28, that you feed the church of God. That you feed. Here's the duty. It means to supervise or to tend. It is what Christ said to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lamb. To feed means, my friends, that the elders have the responsibility divinely given to them not only to make sure that from the pulpit the people of God are fed publicly, but to make sure that what moves through the church is also biblically based, and that the people of God are spiritually nourished through the ministry of the church. So that there are times when we will ask, why do you cut the ham in both ends? And we'll say, I don't know, we've always done it that way. And we must be sure that anything we do will always be based upon the conviction that the Holy Spirit, who is leading the church, is directing those who have been assigned to that responsibility. The question one might have is, how do you know when people are that led? Well, you'll see, my friends, that one of the responsibility of the elder is to govern with authority. But the second responsibility and the duty is to guard against apostasy. To guard against apostasy. Look again at verses 29 and 30. I know that after my departure, grievous wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among you, from your own selves, will arise men speaking perverse things to draw away disciples to themselves. Again, quickly, two thoughts. The responsibility of elders is, my friends, to make sure that devilish assault is kept at a minimum. Look at what the apostle says. After my departure, grievous wolves will come, not sparing the flock. Grievous wolves. The word grievous is a very interesting word in the Greek. It means to be burdensome, to be heavy, to come with a kind of a viciousness. And imagine, when you see someone in the church who is vicious and wanting to lay heavy rules upon the people to live by, you know that that person is not being led by the Holy Spirit. You know that. The reason, my friends, is because grievous wolves always make the rule book thicker to control the lives of people. And they will not spare the flock. This is why Jesus came to the world. You remember what he said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy, what? Burdened. Rules and regulations that control the people, destroying the flock, if you please. Whenever you see that, you know that God is not present. What are they doing? They are calling people away, causing the church to be divided among itself. So there is the guarding against devilish assault. Secondly, there is the guarding against selfish ambition. Here's another proof. The man in the church, the elder in the church, who begins, as the scripture says, begins to speak perverse things. That is, they begin to twist the scripture. They begin to use the scripture to call little disciples around themselves. Diatrophies, if you please. The moment a person begins to show, my friends, that all they're interested in is to be positioned in the church, you know the Holy Spirit is not in that. He's not in that. Among themselves, people who will try to get people over to their side so that they will actually have their own little authority to exercise over people. Listen to what the scripture says. After my departure, there shall arise. Arise. The word means a spirit of being antagonists, speaking perverse things. Well, more can be said, but I hope that you get the idea. Quickly, the accountability of elders. The accountability of elders. There are three accountabilities in this text and one more from the Old Testament that I see as being awesome, if you please, in their interpretation. First of all, an elder is accountable to himself. Acts 20:28. Take heed to yourselves. The word heed there, my friends, in the Old Testament is used for the priest who goes in to do the work in the sanctuary. And he must be careful. He must be sure that what he's doing is in line with what God has revealed to Moses to give to them. Here, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit gives the responsibility of taking care of one's personal life to one's own lifestyle. Take heed to yourself. In other words, my friends, the elder will make sure that he holds to those things which are consistent with the teaching of God's word, and he will never promote anything in the church having to do with selfish ambition. Never. The moment that comes into play, you know the Holy Spirit is not there. You know it immediately. He will look to his heart. He will seek God for his actions. He will put his motives before God. He will check his lifestyle. He will look at his prayer life. He will look at his relationship in his home. He will look at his relationship in the community, and he will guard the name of God by the way he does those things aforementioned. Personal accountability. I tell you, friends, you know, I've often said to people, someone said to me some time ago, you have it easy, you know, you don't have a clock to punch. Listen, my friends, that's a bunch of baloney. Excuse me. Because it would be easier to punch a clock than to be totally committed outside of punching a clock. 6 o'clock, there. 7 o'clock, there. I remember when I was down at the other church, a lady who used to be quite an interesting character. If she called my home and the phone was busy, she would walk over to see if it was really busy or we had it off the hook. We never did. She called another minister in the West End of Toronto to complain about this minister. The minister called me the following day, and you know what he said to her? My office hours are from 9 to 5. Now that's his responsibility. He's accountable to God. But my friends, let me tell you the thing that burns in my heart over and over and over again is my sense of personal accountability, not only to God, but to you. To you. And an elder must be personally accountable. He must check his life. He will check his life. And where God, the Holy Spirit, convicts him, he will surrender in repentance. So there is the personal accountability. Secondly, there is public accountability. Public accountability. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock. One of the most interesting things I see, it's, I suppose, I do not say this with any sense of boasting. Those who are on the board will be able to tell you that if I get an invitation to speak in another church, I go to the board and I ask permission to leave. I get permission from the board before I move in any direction doing with ministry anywhere else, especially in the Lord's Day. Because, friends, you are not simply paying my salary. God has made me accountable to you. To you. And I will have to answer to God for my responsibility or the lack thereof to you. The Holy Spirit said, I'm making you accountable to yourself. I am making you accountable to the flock. I tell you, if you sense anything from this pulpit, or anything from that church office, or anything on the road, perhaps I'm doing something that you think your pastor should not be doing, I invite you, my friends. No, listen, I'm not talking about if I don't cut my lawn or something like that. Okay. One minister said, if I had it over to do again, I wouldn't live close to the church. Everybody knows when I'm in and when I don't cut my lawn. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking, my friends, about the responsibility of upholding the name of God. The elder is publicly accountable to the church, to the flock. And then lastly, what I call the paramount accountability. And I simply want to read it for you, and I will not, my time is gone. I will not make any comments, but listen as I read it, and you will get this paramount accountability, taken from Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. I will not read it all because it's a long text, but just listen. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed, and the broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and the high hills, and my flock was scattered all over the surface of the earth. There was no one to search or to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, and that word there is Jehovah Elohim. God is speaking with a sense of severity. The way you treated the flock is the way you will be treated by me. Surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock even became food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherd did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith Jehovah Elohim, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. Paramount accountability. The shepherd who fails to be accountable to himself, the shepherd who fails to be accountable to the flock, will ultimately have to answer to God for what he does to the sheep. And my friends, I would not want to be on the other end of God's retaliation, if you please, for the mishandling of the ministry of the shepherd's office. May God give us wisdom to do his will in this matter. Let us pray. Our Father, these are exciting times in which the Markham Missionary Church is going through. New families coming and sensing the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his word and in his people. For this we give you thanks. We are desirous now, our God, of moving one step toward a biblical design for the church. There are questions, we are sure, and no new thing takes place without some tension. But we pray that those tension will not be negative tension, that upon leaving this place this evening, we shall be assured that this is the will of God for this ministry as we seek to set in order the things that are lacking to the glory of God in Christ's name. Amen.